Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. Hello, this is Mike Tate. I'm the host of the Small Time Leader podcast, and I am excited today to have as my guest, Deb Bolkus. Deb is an award-winning author, keynote speaker, symposium producer, and founder of Business World Rising. Deb developed her unique leadership style, rising through the ranks of a male-dominated business world starting at age 12. During her 30-year career leading sales, global business operations, and professional service organizations in Fortune 500 technology companies, including AT&T, IBM, and Arrow Electronics, Deb gained a reputation as a passionate, people-oriented leader who, together with her team, could always be trusted to deliver wow results. Deb has written three books, The Wow Factor, Workplace, written in 2019, her current book, Heartfelt Leadership, and her new book coming out next year is Women on Top, What Keeps You from Your Executive Leadership. Deb lives on Amelia Island in Florida with her husband, Chris. They have three grown children and three granddaughters. Deb will share a personal story about her unique childhood and the two mentors who were small-time leaders in her life and career. I am so honored to have Deb Bolkus with me today as my guest. Deb, tell us how you are today.
I am wonderful, and I am grateful to be here today. Thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Where are you as we speak?
I am on Amelia Island in Florida. It's beautiful here.
Oh, and we're all jealous.
and you should be.
That's right. All right. Well, Deb, thanks so much for joining us today. And I always begin to ask my guests what they're most thankful for in their life before they tell us your story about that leader who made a big difference for you. So what's on your mind about what are you grateful for right now?
Well, you know, it may sound very strange, but I am actually very grateful for this time of COVID, which has caused us to kind of step back a little bit and kind of disjoin ourselves from some of the things that we may have been involved in. Personally, I am an author now, and so it's very helpful to have time that I can sit down and just dedicate to thinking and doing my writing and the interviews for my books. And since we've been kind of forced into staying home a little bit more, on the downside, some interviews that I had planned to do in person, and I was going to be doing a lot of traveling all over the country, I'm now doing via Zoom and in other ways. But I've had to disconnect from a lot of the organizations that I am president of and that I chair. And so I had about 4 months that we weren't having meetings, and it gave me a lot of time to really sit down. And I thought I was going to be working on my third book, and I'm actually working on my third and my fourth book at the same time. So it's given me more time to get on with that aspect of my life.
Wow, that's amazing. I'd hope to do that. I have a third book that's coming out, and I haven't progressed as much as you have, but congratulations. And it is a gift, that time just to slow down and do some things that are important and not urgent. Okay, everyone, before we continue today's episode, I just want to remind you of my new book, Roll Up Your Sleeves. The book is on how to lead and live in a world of constant change. Roll Up Your Sleeves has a biblically based storyline that shows you how to get through your transition wilderness to your promised land. Order the book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. For more information, go to the book's website. The links are attached on the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. So, Deb, tell us about that leader in your life that did something that changed you forever.
Well, absolutely. So I'm going to start out by talking about a gentleman who I worked with almost 20 years ago. He was the president of our company. I was working for a Fortune 150 technology company at the time by the name of Arrow Electronics. And the company president president was a man by the name of Fran Sirico. At the time, I had not met him. Actually, I was working for another company that was acquired by Arrow Electronics. And at the time of the acquisition, I was given the opportunity to choose what I wanted to do in the company. I wasn't going to continue on doing what I was doing, but I had the opportunity to move back into the professional services environment or move into a software development organization in business development. So I had these two choices, and one of the organizations that I interviewed with was actually kind of an interesting pet project. It was a project that the chairman of the board had started. So it didn't really fit under any of the traditional aspects of Arrow Electronics. It was something that they were testing out, and they had developed some new software, and they were looking at selling this software as a service to engineers in technology companies. And so I interviewed with the head of that little pet project of the chairman of the board and learned about that to see where that was going to be going and how I could help further establish their mission and further the cause. And then my other option was to start a brand new professional services organization at Arrow Electronics. That was my background. I had been director of consulting services for Fujitsu for some time. And so I had two choices. And at the end of the day, I decided, you know, sometimes you don't have the right vibes with people in an organization and you're not thinking this is going to work real well. So I decided to go off and do my own thing, not my own thing, but start a new organization, which is something that I love to do. And frankly, most of the jobs that I have had after the first 10 years in my career, I started these organizations and I built organizations that were nationwide or global. So I took the opportunity to establish a new consulting practice for them, and it was terrific. So that's kind of where the story began. And then a year later, things unfold. And one morning we go into work and there is a big announcement that they have announced that that other organization that I decided not to join, they had closed it up, shut it down, and they had laid off all the people that worked in that organization. It was just gone. And we were stunned by that. And I'm thinking, oh, whew, I'm glad I didn't go to work there. Now, maybe it would have been different if I'd been there, who knows, but it was just gone. Well, make a long story short, they had positioned that software in a number of large technology companies, and there was no alternative. It was really unique. I mean, to their credit, it was very unique, and there was no other platform or software on the market that could do the same thing. And so these huge technology companies, I mean, think of all the big technology brands you're familiar with. All of these companies had started using this software, and their engineers thought it was critical to them to do their job. It really helped save them a lot of time, and they couldn't do what they were doing. So all of these company presidents and company chairmen, I mean, all the big names you can think of, they are all calling our chairman saying, what on earth have you done? How can you shut this down and not even give us any warning? I mean, just overnight, you shut this organization down. What are we supposed to do? You can't do that. You need to put it back. We need it back. And at least until you develop an alternative. And the chairman said, well, we can't put it back. We've already laid all these people off. They're gone. So about a week later, I get a phone call from my boss. And she says, so you have been selected, since you're running the consulting organization now, you've been selected to, we're going to give you 30 days. And you have to figure out how we can recreate this software service and make it profitable and put it back on the market and run it in a profitable manner.
What? Like,
yes. What?
Yeah, what did you do to get that assignment?
Well, I don't know. Somebody had big ideas that maybe it was because I was kind of new with the company. And if I got fired for not, maybe they thought it was an impossible task and they just give it to me. And they, right. If they lost me, then I was an easy loss. I don't know.
No, I think it was more than that. So tell us the rest of this story.
So my team and I very quickly got together and we kind of strategized. Well, the first thing we had to do, we had really, really, really angry customers. And so we picked the biggest ones who were the most angry, and I personally called their senior executives and said, I would like to come and meet with you. I'm going to fly out and meet with you. and we'll talk about what we can do. And so literally, my team and I took the biggest ones myself, we went out and met with these executives and these major corporations and literally fell on our sword and said, we are so sorry that this happened to you. I would be as angry as you are if this happened to me. And here's our mission. My mission is to understand what it was you loved about this service, what you loved about this software, what it did for you. What are the things that are most important to you? What are the things that weren't most important to you? And we'll try to figure out how we can bring it back. And you can understand we need to run it in a profitable manner. And that's my mission. I am trying to help you. So help me help you. And so we had 30 days to go around and have all these meetings. We were just flying. Thank God at that time, companies, they're design organizations were still in the United States, so I didn't have to fly too far beyond the US borders. But it was a lot of meetings like that where we just fell on our sword and then said, okay, we're on the same side with you. We want to help you. Help us figure this out for you. 30 days later, we had my team and I went back and said, okay, here are the most important things. Here are the things we cannot do anymore. This is what we can lop off. So here's how we suggest going forward with this. And we've got certain customers who are willing to be beta test sites. You know, we're going to skinny it down a little bit, but still deliver the things that are most important. And hopefully we can come up with pricing now that's going to work for everyone. And so we did that and had a beta test, and it worked really well. And by the end of another month or so, we had all those customers back, and they were just thrilled with us. It worked out quite well. So and then by the way, I became the head of the organization. So
naturally.
Yeah. So what was really funny was that, you know, I had two choices early on to either work in that organization or start a consulting service. And so now not only was I running the consulting service, but I was now heading up this new software organization and selling this new services as part of a consulting and services practice. So I ended up owning both of them in the end. Fast forward a year. And we were going on, we were running the businesses and it was growing and things were great. And it was the beginning of the year. And anybody who's been in sales in a large corporation knows that you have you typically have a sales kickoff meeting at the beginning of the year and everybody's all rah-rah and they get people together, at least in the management teams from nationally or around the world, all in some big place. And so we were down at the sales kickoff meeting, the annual kickoff for all of our sales managers on a global basis. We were at a huge, the Lowe's Anatole in Dallas, Texas. It's enormous. And we were all excited, waiting for the convention to open and to go into this big room where we know there was going to be lots of music and fanfare and just waiting for the doors to open. And I'm standing there and all of a sudden I see this movement on the other side of this huge lobby and people are breaking away, letting this person through who is running through the hall. And I'm thinking, well, this is part of the excitement that's really going to go on inside. So somebody's just running through the hall. And then I realized, well, that's actually the president of the company. I had seen pictures of him and I knew who he was, but I'd not actually met him yet. And so he's running through the hall and then I realized he is running straight at me. He is running up to me. And so he did. He came right up to me and reaches out his hand and he said, "You're Deb Bokus, right?" And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he says, "I'm Fran Sirico. I'm the president of Arrow." And I said, "Yes, sir, I know that. It's a pleasure to meet you." And he said, "You're Deb Bokus. I've been dying to meet you because I hear you're fearless."
Wow.
And it floored me. I thought, huh? Where did you hear this? And then he steps back and he tells the story about how this organization had been shut down. It had been a failure. It had been a disaster. And how I went out and all of our biggest customers who were so angry with us that I was fearless enough to go out and meet with them face to face and reinvent the business. And oh, by the way, get it back up and running and making it profitable. And I never batted an eyelash. I didn't say, "Oh my gosh, I can't do this," or "It's not possible." We just went out and figured out a way to do it. But after that happened, and everybody was standing around going, "Wow," like for the president to run through the hall and say that to me in a Fortune 150 company was a big deal.
Huge. Yeah.
And later on, I had to think about that. And I thought, wow, you know, I've never really thought of myself as fearless. I get out there and I do stuff. It's my job to do these things. But I never thought of myself as fearless. And it made me think, I have a new reputation to live up to. I now know that our president, and oh, by the way, I also know the chairman, because this had been his pet project and it made him look kind of bad that his pet project had failed. They're now really dependent upon me and they see me as fearless. I now have that reputation to live up to, and I have to prove to people, I have to prove to myself, I am fearless at all times and in all cases.
Wow.
And you know what? It made me that way. Now, obviously I was before, but that really solidified it in my head that I am fearless and I can be fearless, and it's a good thing. And I'm just grateful for him to bring that to my attention.
Yes, the power of someone just acknowledging something that's inside you that's there, but we just don't see it. That, and you talk about a small-time leader as somebody that said one thing that changed everything. And since then, I know you've gone on to do great things. Deb, I just want to thank you so much for sharing that story. You know, as I listened to it, I heard several things besides fearless. I heard that you trust in your instinct was a big part of this. And you learn to fall on your sword, which is one of the hardest things to do, to go with your hat in your hand or fall on your sword or whatever you say and listen to people and hear their side, which is kind of the key to success in life, you know. So I hope our listeners take those lessons with thee, and also, and to know that those one words you mentioned to other people, you are loyal, you are trustworthy, you are fearless, can make a big difference in someone's life. So thanks again for being with us. We'll see you on Thursday for your second small time leader, and see you then. Have a great one, Deb.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control, but I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.